demons exist? Sure they do. Jesus spent a lot of his time confronting demons and casting them out of people. It sounds kind of weird in the cold, hard light of day. But the devil and his demons are alive and well in this world. So how did Jesus handle them? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our newest life application booklet. Shouldn't it be easier than this? I'd love to send you a free copy to help you absolutely thrive in your walk with Jesus. Whenever I speak about the devil and demons, there's always a variety of reactions. Some people, they're intensely interested. For some people, there's kind of a demon in every situation. Others, though, kind of roll their eyes in the back of their heads and think to themselves, surely this guy doesn't actually believe in this stuff. I mean, give me a break. See, we live in a world where we want to believe in angels, but not demons. We live in a world where we can believe just about anything except in the devil. Do I believe in the devil? Absolutely. Why? Because Jesus did. My trust is in Jesus, but I believe in the existence of the devil and in his army of demons. And yes, some people are influenced by demons. This week on the program, we're spending a day at the office with Jesus, kind of following him around day by day just to see the sort of things he encountered, how he handled them, and what he did. Because this little black duck wants for the reality of this radical Savior, this radical Jesus, to be the overwhelming reality of his life. I want Jesus to change me and transform me and to make a difference in me and through me. I can't do that if he's some play actor in a two-dimensional distant story. In fact, there's nothing two-dimensional about his story at all. It's in vivid technicolor. It's alive and real. And that's why we're spending another day today at the office with Jesus. I was listening to a podcast of a preacher who I really respect, a guy named Mark Driscoll from Mars Hill Church in Seattle. He was talking about this passage that we're about to have a look at, Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. So even though I spend almost every day studying the Word of God and preparing and sharing it with you, I need input into my life too. That's why I listen to good teaching and preaching early in the morning when it's still dark, maybe exercising on the treadmill. I'll be listening to a podcast and getting God's Word into me. Just because you're a preacher, just because you're on radio, doesn't mean you have it all sorted out. Just remember that. I don't. Mark Driscoll doesn't, and no one does. We're all sinners. We're all on a journey of transformation with Jesus. And I'm just some beggar, as the saying goes, who's discovered where the bread is, the bread of life, and I want to help other beggars find it too. So, I'm listening to Mark Driscoll speaking about this particular passage, and he takes the time to explain the difference between God and the devil. And that strikes me as a pretty good idea, because it's kind of easy to get into our heads that God and the devil are these two equal and opposite forces. Well, as we're about to see in this encounter between Jesus and a demon, that just isn't true. So let's read the passage and then we'll come back to the difference between God and the devil. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. He went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astounded at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." When the demon had thrown the man down before them, he came out of the man without having done him any harm. They were all amazed. They kept saying to one another, "What kind of utterance is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and out they come." And a report about him began to reach every place in the region. Now, we see something here, that there's nothing equal about Jesus and demons. Opposite, yes. Equal, no. Remember, everything that was created by and through Jesus. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. The Word, of course, being Jesus. So the whole universe, everything and everyone in it, was created through Jesus and by Jesus. Satan was an angel who rose up in pride and considered himself equal to God. So God, being God, boots him out of heaven and his followers, and there we have it, the devil and his demons. Now, whilst God is omniscient, he knows everything, omnipotent, he's all-powerful, and omnipresent, he's everywhere, the devil is none of those things. So, when I pray silently to God, does God know what I'm thinking? Yeah, sure he does, because he knows everything. Does the devil know? Can he read my mind? No, because he's not God. Only God can do that. But is the devil crafty? Is he a keen observer of people and of behavior? Does he read our body language? Does he know how to lay a trap for us? Yeah, absolutely, all of those things. But he is not God. He does not have the power that Jesus has, the power of the cross, the power of love, the power of forgiveness and reconciliation with God, the power of God himself. Let's just get that straight. That's exactly what we see here in this encounter between Jesus and the demon. Jesus goes to Capernaum, this small town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's the home of Simon Peter the Apostle. It's more than just a fishing village, but not the size of a city as we know it today. And this is kind of the base of operations for Jesus as he kicks off his public ministry. He bases himself at Peter's house and ministers across Galilee from there. So he rocks up to the synagogue on Saturday, and there's a man there possessed by a demon. Now, people have already been astounded by Jesus' teaching. He had this thing of cutting through all the religious mumbo-jumbo and going right to the heart of things that really mattered in people's lives. He spoke with an authority. You know, sometimes you hear preachers drone on, and then half an hour after the sermon, you can't for the life of you remember what the guy was talking about. You know the feeling. But Jesus wasn't like that. He spoke with power and authority and relevance about God and a life in a way that they'd never, ever heard before. They were really amazed at that because he was so different to the scribes who'd been teaching them all these years. But now he's confronted by a demon who ironically knows exactly who Jesus is, something that's eluded everyone else so far. And he very simply casts the demon out of the man. Now, I had an email from a woman who's been demonized for a long time, and she'd seen so many Christians, and they'd put it through so many rituals, sitting on the Bible, all sorts of bizarre things. Friend, that is so tragic. Here is the simple truth. Demons are not equal to Jesus. They are subject to him. That's exactly what we see here in this encounter. And at his name, under his authority, they must flee. That's something his disciples discovered later. And whilst there isn't a demon under every bed or inside every sinner, sometimes we do encounter the demonic and the devil. It's nothing to be afraid of, because if you or I believe in Jesus Christ, then quite simply, in his name we have the authority and the power to cast them out. It's not a show or a performance or anything like that, or some bizarre ritual. It's a simple childlike faith in the power of Jesus Christ. Were people amazed? Yes. Should we be amazed? Well, in one sense, no. But in another sense, whenever I see God do something powerful in someone's life, I'm always in awe of God and his power. Jesus has the power and the authority to cast out demons. No rituals, no performances, just simple power. That's something that you and I need to know next time we run into the devil. Following Jesus isn't always such an easy thing to do. Sometimes we lose heart, and sometimes we're even tempted to give up. It's all just too hard. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Shouldn't It Be Easier Than This? And it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you absolutely thrive in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again at the same time tomorrow with a different perspective.